why this year.
Fitter. Happier. A program about your health, for your health.
Well, as I just said, for the first time of 2020, Fitter Happier is back. And this year being 2020, it's the International Year of the Nurse and Midwife, which celebrates the 200th birthday of Florence Nightingale, and most importantly, nurses and midwives around the world. Today's show is all for the parents to be out there. There are a lot of decisions to make when you are starting a family, and one of the first is deciding what kind of care you will choose for your pregnancy. Joining me to talk about midwifery-led care is Pauline Constans, Principal Midwife Advisor for the Department of Health. Welcome to Fitter Happier.
Hi, great to be here.
Welcome. It's so nice to have you here, and happy International Year of Nurse and Midwife. Tell us why this year is so important.
Look, it's been really good of the World Health Organization to dedicate this year to nurses and midwives. And for us, it's really about raising awareness about to the general public about the important role that nurses and midwives play in achieving best possible health outcomes through evidence-based care. It's also reinforcing to nurses and midwives what a great job they do, and that their role is valued and respected. And further to that, I guess, it's to highlight to the general public that midwives and nursing are two separate professions. So it's a great opportunity this year to celebrate midwives and nurses.
Well, I once heard a saying that the world would stop without nurses, and I guess that is kind of true. You know, they're the, your very first point of contact if you're ever unlucky enough to head into hospital, or lucky enough if you're an expecting mum or parent to be heading into that huge journey. But let's talk a little bit more about your own journey, Pauline. You are a midwife. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you have done throughout your journey?
Sure. Look, I am a nurse and a midwife, and when I was much younger, I decided I wanted to be a director of nursing. And in those days, you needed midwifery as a qualification. So I thought, that's it. I'm going to get experience as a nurse, and I'm going to be a midwife, and then I'm going to be a director of a hospital. So I decided to go to the UK to do my midwifery, and when I went to the UK, that totally changed my perspective about midwifery, and I fell in love with the profession. In the UK, it's very different to here in Australia. And it was really funny because I previously hadn't thought there was much difference between nursing and midwifery. But in the UK, I learned that they were vastly different professions. And as a nurse going into midwifery, the course that I did in the UK was a 18-month Bachelor of Science of Midwifery shortened. And so what you did there was you joined Bachelor of Midwifery students, so they were just midwives, so they weren't nurses, they were just midwives, and at 18 months into their course, the nurses would join, so you would have 18 month student midwives, and you'd have registered nurses coming in being a student midwife, and what an incredible challenge that was, because you saw two totally different models of care, I guess. So from the student midwife who was just a midwife, she had a total normal approach to birth. Myself, being a nurse, was quite medicalised in my thinking. So the transition from being a nurse to a midwife was quite difficult for me because I had to move from a medical model to a healthy model, because we know that most women are healthy when they're having babies. So you want this normal approach or a less medical model approach. So, and I never became a director of nursing because I fell in love with midwifery and women and babies and advocating for women. That midwifery became my preferred professional choice.
That's awesome. That's such a lovely journey that you've been on, and what a rewarding and sometimes probably extremely harrowing profession you have decided to take. So big ups to you. I'm a bit jealous, actually. One of my, if I didn't do what I studied at uni, nursing was my second option, so a little fun fact for you. Ooh. But let's talk a little bit about midwifery-led care and what it is and how it's different to other options that parents might be looking at whilst expecting.
Right. Okay, so coming back from the UK, which is really a midwifery-led model, so that is where midwives are the lead professional. So Australia's healthcare system is quite different. We have a more medicalised model. And so here in Australia, women go to see their GP first, whereas in the UK, the first port of call is your midwife. However, since 2010 and the Maternity Services Review and the Maternity Services Plan, things have changed substantially in WA, or certainly Australia, where we have more midwifery-led models of care, which means your midwife is your care lead care provider. And so that's one of the major changes. And we have endorsed midwives. So an endorsed midwife is a private midwife who will work antenatally, intrapartum when you're having your baby, and postnatally up to 6 weeks. So we have several models of care. And our hospitals have now introduced midwifery-led models of care, or MGPs, midwifery group practices. And so these are all led by midwives, and they have a caseload of one midwife per 40 women, and they work as a group. And so that woman will see at least two midwives throughout her whole pregnancy.
Okay.
So you have that continuity of care where the woman really gets to know her midwife, and her midwife is her first port of call.
Now, a question that I have around midwifery, and we talk about it a lot, and I think as soon as people think about having a baby, they sometimes automatically think hospitals, but midwives can also look after people who choose home births too, correct?
That's correct, yes.
What's the kind of difference between a midwife in a hospital setting and a midwife at home setting?
Oh, now that's a good question. So with midwifery group practice, so in WA we have the Community Midwifery Program, the CMP, and they do home births. We also have private midwives who do home births. So previously when I was the first endorsed midwife of Western Australia, which means I did an extra course in prescribing so we could prescribe. So I had my own group practice, worked with some wonderful midwives, and our women would come to us and we would see them privately. They'd pay and get a Medicare rebate. And then we would birth them in hospital, so we'd go with them to hospital and then come home and look after them 6 weeks after. With the CMP program, that's all Medicare funded, so the same thing applies, is that they will see the midwife in the clinic, or the midwife will come and visit them at home. If everything is normal, we have to remember a midwife's remit is normal. As everything is normal, she can birth at home. And two midwives come out to the birth, and then they look after them for 4 to 6 weeks afterwards. A hospital midwife will work in different areas. So they'll work in the antenatal clinic, they'll work in the labour ward, and they'll work in the postnatal ward. And so you have a more fragmented care. So the woman doesn't really know who her primary midwife is. With the introduction of MGPs now, hospitals are all coming on board with MGPs, and so we have more named midwives for our women. And of course we've got the great birth centre from King Edward and the new birth centre at Fiona Stanley, which all provide MGP services. So
Amazing. And on the record right now, we're tuned into Fitter Happier, talking to Pauline Constance about midwifery, celebrating the 200th birthday of Florence Nightingale and 2020 being the International Year of the Nurse and Midwife. Pauline, could you just take us through quickly before we go, maybe some of the steps of how parents can get into accessing midwifery-led care?
Yeah, but before I do that, I just want to add that midwives have been around a lot longer than Florence Nightingale.
Yes, so 200 years seems like a long time.
200 years for Florence Nightingale. Well, if you look back at the Bible, you can see that midwives were present, and the first home birth is actually the birth of Jesus, the nativity scene. I just had to get that in.
I wonder now if a home birth would include a donkey and whatever else was there.
Well, we do have home births on a farm.
Where the donkey is the first
one.
I don't
think there'd be a donkey, but maybe the dog or the cat might be there.
So let's talk how parents-to-be can access midwifery-led care.
All right, so first protocol here is usually your GP. So you could talk to your GP about a named midwife or an MGP, a midwifery group practice. We have midwifery students who do continuity of midwifery care, experiences rather. So our midwifery students are allocated to a woman who, and of course there's a midwife with them, but that's the first port of call sometimes for women to be introduced to continuity of care, because that student midwife will follow that woman throughout her experience with the midwife. And that's another way of introducing midwives to women. Of course, the Healthy WA website, our Having a Baby in WA website, that also gives you options about midwifery-led care. And also, if you contact your local maternity service, they will also let you know if there's a midwifery group practice there as well. Yep, fabulous. And of course, Armidale has the Bajura Yorgas midwifery group practice for our Aboriginal ladies. So that's really lovely too.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on Fitter Happier today and giving us a little bit more of an insight into midwifery and your journey.
Fabulous. Yeah, it's been great. I hope we all, nurses and midwives, have a great year this year. And celebrating. So thanks for having us and having this insight about what it is to be a midwife. So great, thank you.
If you would like any more information, you can head on over to Healthy WA website, healthywa.wa.gov.au.